Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for our guest today, Jesse Grossman. Jesse, welcome so much to the Grin Gets Real podcast. Really excited to have you on here to just kind of talk through, you know, influencer talent management and your expertise in that area.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for having me, first and foremost. Big fan of Grin and you personally.
Oh, I love it. Keep it going.
Seriously. And I'm just happy to be here today. I'm an open book. So I'm just happy to chat with you.
Fantastic. Well, let's dive into it. Because we are going to be talking about talent management, I'd love to hear a little bit about like who you are and expertise you bring to the table.
Sure. So presently, I founded a networking group called WIM, which is short for Women in Influencer Marketing. And we are a nonprofit networking organization. We have tons of resources for women who touch the influencer marketing industry who are not influencers, so practitioners, right? But everybody has a different entryway point into influencer marketing. And I'm always so curious how the women that I know, and men as well, of course, but women in WIM, how they get to influencer marketing. So my path is via talent management. For many years, I represented actors in commercials. That's sort of how I got into working with talent, generally speaking. And then I started their influencer division at that talent agency. I was there for a couple of years doing that. They still have it to this day. They're incredible. And I love the work that they're doing. But I actually left that agency to go ahead and start my own. So we had a team of like 10 people. I think it was actually at a 10 or 11. That agency sold. But my entryway point into influencer work is via talent management. It's something that I love advocating for people. I love advocating for artists, and influencers are entrepreneurs as well. Like, I think it's worth talking about that and at least acknowledging that, because those are some of my favorite people. And I think that's why that sort of entrepreneurial spirit is the best. So I loved supporting them, advocating for them. And that was my personal journey and entryway point into influencer marketing.
I love that because, you know, as I told you before we got on, talent management is definitely an area for anybody who is engaging with influencers and trying to leverage influencer marketing as part of their marketing strategy. But I'm not sure that they know a lot about like the world of talent management. So let's break down the basics of that. What at its core, do you mean when someone says, I'm a talent manager, what does that mean?
Yeah, great question. And we get this question a lot, like, what is even the difference between a talent agent, a talent manager? Yeah. You know, we had someone in our Facebook group today say, I'm looking for somebody in the management space. What's their revenue model? Like, is it on a retainer? Is it a commission-based? Like, these are very legitimate questions. So talent managers in the influencer space in particular are sort of a jack of all trades. It's not necessarily the way that I would tell a talent manager to be, and I'm happy to get into that, but that is presently how people are sort of operating the space. And what I mean by that is these people are tasked with not just getting deals and procuring them, but also negotiating brand deals and working in redlining contracts. So they're, you know, pseudo lawyers. They are a pseudo accountants in that they're invoicing and handling collections for payments that are, you know, coming in and out. They're also, you know, helping with the development of that influencer. And so in a lot of instances, that's sort of the beauty of influencers is that theoretically, unless you get a terrible terrible piece of press. You're always growing and the possibilities are sort of endless, right? And so a lot of talent managers will work with the influencer to sort of develop their careers and to get really strategic about, you know, how many brand partnerships should you be doing and what kinds of brand partnerships should you be doing? What type of content you should be putting out there? And like, where do you see this going in the next 10, 15, 20 years and so on. So my observation is that most talent managers are wearing many, many hats. And my personal opinion, to give you a preview of that, is that it's impossible for one person to be great at everything. And so I really think more managers should really drill down into what they're best at, focus on that, and either develop a team for the other pieces of that or outsource it. Because again, like, one person cannot be great at everything. So why pretend, you know?
Absolutely. You can't be all things to all people. And I feel like that goes with absolutely every job as well, too. But especially, it sounds like, for a talent manager. Now, that being said, you can't be all things to all people. How many people, influencers, creators, would a typical talent manager be managing?
So that's a great question too. I find that most talent managers represent anywhere between like maybe like 5 and like 15 max influencers. It is a pretty wide range, of course, but the reason being is like not in every influencer is created equally, right? First of all, some influencers have big teams already, right? And so they maybe need the manager to do less, right? Like if you're just negotiating deals, and I have my own lawyer who looks over contracts, and I have my own team who's helping me strategize, and I have other people that I outsource to, that's a manageable influencer, right? Like they're going to take up less of your time if they're a little bit more self-sufficient. Or conversely, maybe, you know, you have 3 huge powerhouse influencers who are all you can manage because their businesses are so large that you can't, you know, you could never manage more than just a handful of influencers. So it definitely depends because not all influencers are created equal.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. At what point should an influencer look for a talent manager? Is there a recipe for that? Like if I am getting approached by multiple brands and I'm not really sure what to do, is that when I should look for a talent manager? Or do you really only focus as a talent manager, not you specifically, but as talent managers in general, do they focus on like those macro influencers that have a higher volume? Like if I was an influencer listening to you right now, what are my triggers to be like, okay, I need a manager, I need to go to an agency?
Great question. I will tell you a few things about this because it's a really important topic. Number one, I am such a huge advocate for influencers doing a lot of like the talent manager stuff before they get a manager. Reason being, this is your business. And so for you to start outsourcing things to other people, really smart, but you need to learn how to communicate with your employees. And essentially a manager, a lawyer, an accountant, a photographer, these are all your employees. And so I would find it hard to just say, here, handle half my business and not be able to like really feel like I understand what they're doing and to be able to communicate with them as an employee, as a member of my team. And so I say that because I feel like a lot of influencers preemptively look for managers before it's the right time. And there's definitely an expectation that as soon as you get a manager, you are immediately going to like blow up, get all these deals, and like you have made it. And that could not be further from the truth. Like if you take anything from this conversation right now, like please hear me on that, because the most successful influencers that I have worked with, it was a true partnership, meaning that we were doing what we're best at and the influencers were killing it and doing incredible things at what they were great at. And they were hustling so hard just as we were. The other thing I will mention on that as well is when you are ready for a manager, and I'll give you a brief rundown of the criteria, so I'm not like vague about that, right? So let me actually speak for my former agency. We could not really do much for people who had under 100,000 followers, under about 3% engagement. Most of them were on Instagram, simply because that was the business that I was tapped into at the time. There are managers out there who are very tapped into TikTok business now, for example, because it's huge. So like whichever platform is your largest, just make sure that you are vetting these people like crazy and saying like, what brands are you tapped into? Like, where are your contacts? What does your Rolodex look like? Because you want to make sure that it's a match. Also, I tended to represent influencers in like the parenting lifestyle space, for example. Yeah. I found that there were more partnerships in that space, and those were where my connections were. And so I would be silly to represent somebody in like the fashion and makeup space. That was never my forte. So just make sure that it's the right match. And the last thing I'll say is when you're looking for management is to make sure that the person you will be working with on a daily basis is your person, and don't get blinded by the name on the door. And what I mean by that is there are a ton of large agencies out there that do incredible business, by the way. And so I would never knock the big agencies. But what I would also say is there are a lot of smaller agencies or independent agencies or, you know, solopreneurs who have incredible things to offer and could be the best manager that you would ever have. They just have their name on the door. So I would just say, like, don't discriminate in any way. Be open-minded about that, because it's way more about the person that represents you versus the brand or the agency that represents you.
How would one know how connected a talent manager is? You typically come with like, hey, these are the influencers that I represent, and then they can gauge it on their own. Or is there a place for influencers to tap in to figure out like, okay, guys, where should I go?
Yeah. Ask around. I'm so one for not like, let's not reinvent the wheel, right? Yes. Like, you have influencer friends, ask them, like, who are they managed by? Like, if you've worked with brands before, ask those people, say, hey, I'm looking for a manager. What managers do you like? Or if there's someone that you really jive with, say, like, hey, have you ever worked with this manager before? Like, do your due diligence just as much as a manager should do their due diligence on you. Like, it's very much a two-way street. And I would just fully empower influencers to really do that research. Just ask around, see what people think.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to know, how do you define an influencer?
How do I define an influencer? I don't know. In this day and age, you like anyone can be an influencer. I mean, just because my beliefs would like to see and my moral compass would like to see an influencer who's like using their platform for good, who's, you know, really making a positive change in the world and optimizing and recognizing the fact that they have this incredible platform to do big things with and not missing that opportunity. That's like my personal definition of what an influencer is if I had it my way. But that being said, like, an influencer could be anybody. You know, I'm open-minded enough to be able to say that. But yeah, it's somebody who, you know, has an audience at its core, right? And I think that the most important thing is, if I could, you know, speak to any influencers who are listening to this, is you can have an audience that's 200 people. You can have an audience that's 200,000 or 2 million people. If you have a loyal group of people that respect you and appreciate you or enjoy you in some capacity, I would just implore you to, you know, like, elevate what you're, just to maybe even just understand that at its core. And, you know, maximize that, take advantage of it, just appreciate what it is and idealistically use it for good.
Yeah, that's what we all would hope that someone would do, for sure. I'm also really curious about, as a talent manager, do you call people with that influence an influencer, a creator, an ambassador? What verbiage do you use with that? And the reason that I ask that to provide some context is that I feel like there's a knee-jerk reaction when people hear the word influencer, right? They automatically want to bucket them into something else to show that, okay, no, it's not this cheeky, I'm an influencer, you know. Do you know what I mean? There's this predetermined thought of what an influencer is. So I'm curious, when you're working with talent, what do you, or how do you categorize them?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. And my answer has changed over time, if I'm being honest. So when I had my agency, we always referred to them as creators. It felt better. Like sometimes it's this like intrinsic thing that you can't necessarily explain why, but it felt better. Influencer at the time felt, and still to this day, it feels like a little presumptuous, you know? Yeah. It's like, you're influencing me.
Like, I don't know. You're saying you're popular. It almost, I feel like, comes off like that. Hey, I am the cool kid in class.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think that conversely, I think that using the term creator sort of gives them a lot more respect almost to what they're doing. It's essentially saying they're like an artist, which I believe. So I always used the word creator, but that being said, I mean, women in influencer marketing, right? Like we're a group of, you know, women in influencer marketing. So I find that it's definitely the most used term. And so just to sort of keep it in the vernacular, you know, we definitely use the word influencer, but if I had it my way, I'd probably say creator.
I love it. I won't tell anybody. So we have gone over just kind of the basics of a talent manager and the job duties. What I'm also really curious about is the brand perspective. Okay. So, you know, you've discussed the types of influencers and what influencers should look for in a talent manager. But what if I'm a brand? What's the best way for me to reach out to a talent manager if there is someone that I know that I want to work with?
Yeah, that's a great question. Literally yesterday, we did a live stream in our Facebook subgroup to our managers because they were looking for feedback from brands of like, you know, we're submitting a lot of our talent consistently, whether it's like through Wimcast or through, you know, just people outreaching to us, like what will get my talent more success? Like what will get them cast more often? But conversely, what I also get is feedback from talent managers, and I've been in those shoes, so I can totally speak to that, and I'll be super candid about it. So the main thing, this is a relationship business. So personalizing the email in some way, shape, or form will go such a long way. Let's just start at the basics, right?
Yeah.
You know, knowing who the talent is that they represent or something about their business, I think really goes a long way. Also, any influencer or manager on behalf of an influencer, with the respect of, I'm not just looking for a one-off post priced solely based on numbers and their statistics, but I respect you guys as business people, as artists, as creators, and I'm approaching you guys as potential partners and true partners at the heart of that word, there's a level of respect there. And so I think that that's just one personal thing that I appreciate seeing and infusing that in some way, shape, or form in your interactions. The other thing is, which is just like the nitty gritty, like always provide the usage information. You know, where is it being distributed and for how long is it being distributed? Is there any whitelisting associated with it? How long is there whitelisting? Exclusivity, you know, is it a category of exclusivity or is it against specific brands? How long? When does the exclusivity start? All the necessary follow-up questions that Wimcast, for example, like automates because it's literally a computer can ask all these questions for you. And so that's part of what we offer in Wimcast. But if you're not using Wimcast, like just know those specific criteria that managers are absolutely going to follow up and ask about, and just eliminate that back and forth, please, because you know, if you come to the table with all the operative information immediately, I will tell you 10 out of 10 times, a manager will say, oh my God, this person knows what they're talking about. Like, this is the type of person I want to work with. And I will work a little harder for you, knowing that, like, you get it. Fun fact.
But I like that there are a list of questions that need to be answered before you even get to what it sounds like. All right, here's the price for something like that, right? Because there is no one size fits all, is what I would think as well, too.
Absolutely. And there's even more questions too. Like, and I'm happy to go into them, but you know, like, when is it going live? Like, what does the content look like? Is there a long-term possibility for a partnership here? Is it just a one-off post? So, you know, the more details, the better. And it's just so appreciated. I can't overstate that enough.
So I have a question in regards to that. That to me describes someone who's already coming to the table that knows that they want that specific influencer. But we do talk a lot about building a relationship and it also being authentic on the end of the influencer representing the brand. So from an influencer brand perspective, I've always thought that product gifting is a really great way to introduce your brand. Is that an approach that works with a talent manager as well too? So for example, could I say, hey, Jesse, I'm really interested in, you know, your influencer XYB. This is what my product is. I want to make sure that she or he loves it, like doesn't have any questions about it before we even talk about that. Is that an approach for a talent manager as well too? Do you guys get that a lot?
You know, there are a lot of big influencers that get inundated with that stuff. And when everyone's just trying to do this at scale, it's just, it's hard to give everybody the opportunity to essentially like take our valuable time for free. That is just a reality of it. So, you know, a manager might not be so willing to do it if it's coming from somebody that they don't know and there's no history there. But if there is a history there, like absolutely, of course, that's the ideal scenario. You want it to be authentic and most influencers are totally open to that. And people will be like, all right, cool. Awesome. Let's do this.
It sounded like, based on what you had mentioned, is that, you know, talent managers should kind of stick to where they know. That's kind of the platform and what I would assume the industry. Is there like this go-to place that as a brand I can go to find the talent agencies that I do want to start establishing just kind of that relationship to, you know, introduce my brand or even get to know the influencers that are under their umbrella? Is there a place for them to go?
Yeah. So can I do a shameless plug?
Absolutely. You can do a shameless plug. We're looking for resources here, Jesse. This is helpful.
That's my only goal here. So WIM is that place. We have a network of over 100 talent managers, dozens of talent agencies, and we have a tool called WIMcast. And it's really truly to make that casting process and looking for agents or their talent to be simple and not a headache and streamlined. And so essentially we have a casting service for our collective members where it asks all those operative questions that I shared with you earlier. So you don't have to be like, oh shoot, I missed the exclusivity or I missed the this. We walk you through the whole thing, literally takes less than 5 minutes. And then we blast it out to our network of talent managers. We don't take a cut of anything. It's simply for members who are part of our collective. And at the end of it, what we deliver is a spreadsheet of all these recommendations, their name, their agency, and their contact info. And from there, we say, go forth. We're a networking organization. Like, that's what we're all about. We're bringing you together. And then you take it from there. And we remove ourselves from the conversation. It's a great place to meet wonderful, incredible talent managers.
See, it was definitely not a shameless plug. It was a resourceful plug. That's what it is. Let's get a cheat sheet from the influencer perspective. So if you are a talent manager and you could give like the top three, five tips, or however many you can list off for an influencer that is going to approach you, what would you want to tell them?
Okay. So these are influencers who are looking for management. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So number one is treating your, like presenting your business, right? Like this is your opportunity to share how you have monetized your business. Managers are, you know, not working on retainer. Managers only make money when you make money. So if you are approaching a talent manager and looking for representation, the number one thing that they're going to be most interested in is how have you made money thus far? Where do your relationships lie? How successful have your partnerships been? Ideally, it's not just that you're working with a million different brands. It's that you're having long-term relationships with people who come back and want to work with you again. I cannot emphasize that enough, because sharing that and having that be your MO will go such a long way, because then that manager can say, oh, thank goodness, like I can pitch this person to somebody and know that they're going to be on time. They're going to deliver the great content. They're going to get great engagement. They're going to be great salespeople, because at the end of the day, like you're selling products or you're selling something. And so you need to have a history, a job history, right? A work history of success. And so, you know, sharing that, whether it's in a conversation, make it visual, make it beautiful, like share some screenshots, you know, really like have your portfolio there and ready. So that's one thing. I appreciate influencers who ask a lot of questions, because again, this is a long-term business relationship that we're getting into. So, you know, you might be an incredible influencer, but you might just not be the best fit for the business that I'm tapped into. And that's okay. And if that's the case, I'm going to refer you to one of my friends who is a manager at another agency who just might be tapped into that business. And like, that's okay. And then the last thing I'd probably say is probably to do your homework on that agency or that agent and talk about like, hey, I know that you guys work with this company and I've worked with them before. And then that'll be a reference of sorts, right? Uh-huh. Those are just a few things that I would tell influencers to prepare.
One of the biggest questions I feel like is out there when it comes to influencers is, how much should I even pay an influencer? Like, it's a top question. And then you Google it, and then there are all these calculators. If they have so many followers, then if their engagement is over 5%, give them X amount. And then it depends on if it's YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. Do you think that there is a calculator out there or like a framework out there to be able to provide people some insight on how much to pay an influencer?
Sure. Great question. I am not a fan of those calculators that do exist and they're out there, and like, give them a shot because it'll give you wrong information. Don't give them a shot. I'll take that back. Don't do that. I can't even lie. I am not a fan of them, because pricing/valuating an influencer is part statistics. Absolutely. It's part like, what's your engagement? What's your following? There are these absolute statistical questions and answers that you're going to get that absolutely are going to weigh into your decision about whether to use that influencer in the first place, but then of course, how much to pay them. Secondarily though, there's this it factor. And this goes to maybe the fact that I used to work in traditional media, and I can vouch for having a face and a person's likeness represent your brand. There's absolutely value in that that is not communicated via some stats that you can find on some analytics of a said social media platform, right? Like it's just not, you can't find it. So look, I could say generally speaking, what I like to advise people is about minimums. And I would say, you know, somebody who has like 100,000 followers, that tends to be like a benchmark when you're working with influencers who have management. You know, one post tends to run maybe a minimum of about maybe like $1,500. And that is with standard social media usage. That is with no exclusivity. That's with no whitelisting. And that's like your average run-of-the-mill minimum. However, I have represented talent who has, you know, sub 200,000, and they are so unique and their content is so good. And there are a number of different factors that make them highly sought after. And just there's this unique factor that they know they can command more and the more, and it's really truly what the market will bear. That's the management answer, right? Like that's the talent manager influencer answer is I cost what you'll pay. And that is true.
That's great advice. And it really does lean into like having that relationship and looking at it as a partnership. Okay, so I've got my final question. It is prediction time. What would you predict will happen with influencer marketing for 2021? Where do you see it going? And then like, where do you see it almost even like 3-5 years from now? So let's start with where do you see it going for 2021?
Okay, so number one, I will tell you, and this is such a short answer, but I'm so excited about it, more diversity, like less people that, you know, don't look like me and, you know, representative of America and the world, which is, you know, people who are of mixed ethnicities, people who are, you know, these beautiful Black, Brown creators who had a huge and so overdue opportunity and movement in 2020 with Black Lives Matter and, you know, lots of conversations that absolutely should have been happening years ago were finally happening. I'm so about people having those difficult conversations so that our industry could be on the right side of history. From 2021 to beyond, I will just say I am very, very happy, excited to just see more influencers of color who absolutely should have a seat at the table, and they're creating just as great work and they're being made a priority now, which is fantastic.
Well, this has been fantastic. I loved your predictions. Definitely more diversity for sure. I can't thank you enough, Jesse. I took a good portion of your time.
No, you're amazing. And I'm happy to chat with you today. So I appreciate the conversation. It's been so fun.
Thank you again so much. We'll talk soon.
Okay, sounds good.
What a great conversation with Jesse today. After going over the basics of all things talent management, from what a talent manager actually is to what they do day to day, we dove into how a brand can find the right talent manager with the right influencers. Jesse provided a cheat sheet of sorts for brands on how to approach a talent manager with success, and even did so for influencers too, looking to hire a talent manager. But when it all comes down to it, it's about being prepared from both the brand and the influencer side. And don't forget, at the end of the day, it's all about establishing a relationship. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes and leave us a review. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.